He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Keit. Barry, I think it's fair to say that the Trump name still carries some weight.
Yeah, people are voting their pocketbook.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen anything like it in my life. The Dow's up 100 today. That's a new high. Okay, so, you know, we had a new high several months ago and then had a pretty steep correction of about 5%. And then we've hit resistance many times, but we're breaking through it now at 35,717, and there is big news on the macro outlook front, which we'll get to here in a moment. The NASDAQ's down 60. I'm going to call that mostly Facebook and Intel. Intel mostly. Facebook also, yeah, it's under some pressure recently. It's a controversial stock, you might say. Maybe it's afraid of the new Trump network. I don't know. We've also got, let's see, the S&P is flat, but the S&P hit a new all-time high yesterday, and we've got big news on the S&P 500 today. The Russell 2000 down 5 to 2290. That's your small caps. Crude oil up 95 cents as the Cushing oil the holding tanks there in Oklahoma are about out of oil. We're hitting 83.45 today. Gold is up 28 to 18.10. Gold must see some inflation today. The euro, who cares? Silver up 64 cents. I care about the euro, but I don't really. Reported every day, 10-year at 1.67, and Bitcoin is, the fervor is dying a little bit. It's down 3,000 to 61,576. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, the show that it pays to listen to, I guess you could say.
you never know when.
You never know when. I mean, I was up early, as I always am. Of course, it's 4 a.m., 3:30, it's 3:30 a.m. when I start my day on the West Coast, and I just happen to be going through the news like I do every day from around the world, and I saw that little blurb on a SPAC of very little, acclaim. Nobody'd really ever heard of it, DWAC. And I read about what they're going to do and what it's all about, and I said, you know what? This thing can't miss. This thing is going to scream today. And scream it did, and it's screaming loudly again today. Barry, that thing was, when I looked at it yesterday, it was $9.98. Can you give me a current quote on DWAC? From
yes, I know it's up over, you know, roughly over, I think, 1,200% since inception, you know, since the announcement, I guess you will. But it's, $144.
Okay, $144.
Up 216%, 216% today.
You know, I haven't seen anything like this really since GameStop. And, one of the reasons, I looked at the shares outstanding on that thing. There's only like 31 million shares. So we call that in the business a pretty thin float. I wonder how many times that float has changed hands.
Volume today so far is 38 million. So
well, there you go. You can do the math.
Over 100%, right?
All right. Well, you know, stuff like that comes along from time to time, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the Digital World Acquisition Corp., quadrupled yesterday. It's going to be Trump Media and Technology Company, and it's going to take on the big boys, Twitter, Facebook, Google. We'll see if they get any television out of it or radio, but one of the wildest stocks I have ever seen in my career. I remember iOmega back. I made a ton of money for people in iOmega. One guy, he turned into a millionaire from iOmega. That was a long time ago. Thanked me. Never sent me a box of chocolates or anything, you know, but what the heck. I'm the kind of guy that likes making money for other people. I think you've seen that in me, Barry.
Certainly. Yeah, it's the excitement. We got a nice note from a listener yesterday who hopped on it and of course thanked you for passing it or at least just mentioning it.
Recommending it. I just said, look, this thing came public. I think it's going to be a screamer.
Yeah.
And I guess some people jumped on it. It's
a
stock.
It's a SPAC. We don't know. Yeah, you know, I mean, just like any other SPAC, right? We don't really know what it's going to do. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what the earnings are going to be. We don't even know what, you know, really, truly, exactly what the investment's going to be in. All we know, right, is who's attached to it.
Which right.
Is, in this instance, it's Trump. It's no different than if we were looking at some of those other SPACs along the way. And it's like, hey, high-powered investor is a part of it, right? Or some, you know, former CEO or so, you know, of whatever XYZ company is a part of it, and it's got some it's got some legs.
Yeah.
Of course, in this instance, it's got, you know, Trump. It's got, you know, it's part meme stock, right? It's part SPAC. It's you know,
it's got
it's part voting. You know, the kind of you know, in terms of America, right? And, you know, in terms of political sense, it's got a little bit of everything, something for everyone.
Well, let's see if I can match that today
right?
And come up with anything, you know. You know, the big news, though, the headline is a little misleading here. It says Biden backs down on corporate tax hikes. This is really big macro news. It's not Biden that's backing down. It's Kristen Sinema out of Arizona. You know, the Senate is split 50-50. And, of course, Kamala Harris would cast the, if there was a tie, she would cast. But you've got two senators. Sinema will not agree to any tax hike. She's a Democrat out of Arizona. And, you know, I mean, I've been putting two scenarios in my target prices for the S&P 500 even before Biden was elected, because I knew there was a chance, you know, a good chance that he would be elected. And, you know, on with a big tax hike, that takes a bite out of S&P 500 earnings. It's, you know, it's just the opposite. When Trump lowered the corporate tax rate, and his reasoning from him was to be more competitive with the world, that added a big chunk to S&P 500 earnings, and the market went up accordingly, okay? If you've got, let's say, $100 in earnings, and you're multiplying that by 20, okay, you've got a $2,000 stock or index or whatever. Now, if you do a tax cut and that number goes to $110 in earnings, then you've got a $2,200 target price. And it works the other way, too. So we've done two scenarios now for over a year of what the earnings picture and target price for the S&P 500 are under behind door number one, no corporate tax hike. That looked like a pretty that was a long shot, really. I mean, for there to be no corporate tax hike, I mean, Biden ran on that. One of his big platforms was to raise corporate taxes significantly. At one point, it was going to go back up to 28%. So I had to always weigh that. I figured that was the more likely scenario. But yesterday's news was, at a town hall last night, he announced that Kristen Sinema will not agree to any tax hike of any kind. And Senator Manchin and Senator Bernie Sanders almost got into a fight, fisticuffs. Manchin waved his fist at Bernie Sanders and says, Bernie, you'll live without the $3.5 trillion bill. Bernie took umbrage to that. So those two senators, you know, who would have ever guessed? But that's a roadblock to any corporate tax hike. So now the more likely scenario by far is using door number A, not door number B, So we'll see where my S&P 500 target price comes in today, because we've also had a pretty good week of earnings. We've had 80 S&P 500 companies report this week. I can't wait to roll up my sleeves. The newsletter is going to go out later today and let you know what my S&P 500 target price is. The reason the S&P hit a new all-time high in the Dow yesterday, because that news was starting to leak out. But I don't think it's leaked out, you know, to the rest of the people, especially asleep still in California. I think that's good news on the macro front for the S&P 500. Now it's up to the corporations to deliver the earnings. And I'll have an update for you in today's newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, there's a true principle in the market that if I haven't observed anything else during my 21, almost 22 years in the market, it's the fact that markets and stocks follow earnings. They follow earnings. And obviously, when earnings rise, the stock or the index follows along. And one graph that I publish every single week in the newsletter, it's just a simple bar chart year by year of the aggregate earnings of the S&P 500, the 500 companies that make up the S&P. Now, you may get some changes to the S&P along the way, a few here and a few there, but, I mean, at the end of the day, we're just looking at the bottom line of the S&P 500. But there's a lot of analysts that contribute to the individual companies' earnings estimates, those 500 companies. There's especially the S&P 500 companies. There's a lot of analysts from different firms, for instance, covering Amazon. And, you know, I can... Over the years, I get asked a lot, don't analysts shoot high or shoot low with their earnings, or don't companies mislead the analyst? I've got a very clear observation on that, Barry. The fact of the matter is, if anything, these companies sandbag the analysts, correct?
Right. Oh, yeah. They know what the expectations are. They know what their hurdle rate is, right? They know where they need to be, and they obviously manage around earnings as well.
Yeah, I mean, at my little company, you know, not that I'm Blackstone or Goldman Sachs or anything, but I have a pretty good idea quarter by quarter. I mean, I know how many clients I have. I know how many clients we add, generally speaking, and whatnot. And I can come pretty dang close with what I think, you know, the earnings of Gunderson Capital will be. And these companies, they've got financial departments. They have a very good, idea day by day of what their earnings are going to be, especially in today's world with all of the computer power that we have. And, of course, the analysts, they can't tell them exactly, but they give them general guidance. I've written up, I've visited companies and, talked to the management and came up with the reports. And, I don't think the company, and it's not in the company's best interest to lie to the analysts. They're liable for misleading. There was some of that went on in the late 90s and whatnot. They don't want to mislead analysts, and they don't want to mislead investors. So like I say, if anything, the estimates you're looking at for next year and the following year are probably a little bit low. And another piece of evidence that points it out is 80% of the companies that have reported so far have beat estimates. All right.
Right. Yeah.
And that's pretty much average these days. 70 to 80% beat their estimates. Because, you know, if you miss your estimates, you can get clobbered, like Intel today, for instance, I think.
Right. And, yeah, they were down 10% earlier this morning.
Yeah, and you and I have been ragging on Intel for a long time, and I've been ragging on AT&T and IBM. In simple terms, why hasn't IBM stock moved over the last decade, Barry?
Look at the growth rate and growth in earnings. They're,
exactly.
They're quote unquote a technology company, but they just haven't been. You know, they haven't been in the right areas for years from a business standpoint.
Yep, their earnings have been stagnant, sideways. Sideways earnings equals a sideways stock. And the only thing they have to offer really is a dividend. And the same with ditto with AT&T, ditto with the tobacco stocks. And without earnings, you're not going to get capital appreciation, which is what we're after. We're after capital appreciation. So obviously the big emphasis for a growth investor like we are is to look at earnings and to look at earnings projections. We discussed this point yesterday with Tesla. It gets that glamour multiple, beyond glamour multiple, because of its glamour growth rate of 50%. GM, on the other hand, is not going to get a glamour multiple because its growth rate is probably closer to 10% or maybe even the high single digits. So you're going to get rewarded with a much lower multiple. Now, let's just go back to 2009 for a minute when we had the financial crisis. That's when the market bottomed. S&P 500 earnings bottomed out at $53 per share in 2009. Those earnings have been climbing every single year except for the COVID year. And you know in a financial statement or an income statement when they have an extraordinary event, right, Barry?
Yeah, extraordinary item, right?
Yes, that means it's not supposed to occur again. It was a one-off.
Yes.
And that's what 2020 was. It was an extraordinary item. It was a one-off, which also means you can basically ignore that. And I made that point in March of 2020 at things couldn't have looked gloomier or darker for the market, the world, everything. People were scared. And I said, well, you know what? It looks like this is going to be a one-off year. The market has already written this year off, and it's looking ahead to the year that we're in now, about to finish. And we're going to end up making about $200 per share for the S&P 500 this year. So from 53 to 200, and in addition to that, this year especially, last year, towards the end of last year and this year, we've gotten an expansion of the multiple, okay, the multiplier. And that expansion has been a gift from the Fed as they continue to not raise interest rates. As they continue to, their asset purchases. So you've seen the multiple now expand from its normal range of 16 to 18. It hit 22 yesterday, which does take my breath away. And in fact, when that S&P 500 multiple has hit 22 in the past, it backs off. It has not gone higher than 22. We'll see what it does this time. But when you multiply 200 times 22, that's this year. This year has already been priced into the market. It was priced into the market 6 months ago. And now we're looking ahead to 2022 and 2023. Those are called earnings estimates. And we're going to have a much clearer picture today when I do the math on the 80 companies that have already reported. And we'll have a brand new target price out for the S&P 500 for next year and the year after that, and we can probably look past the corporate tax hike. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. With the Dow up 125, that's an all-time high there on the Dow. The NASDAQ down about 40. It's mostly Intel and a little bit of Facebook. The leaders in the market today, Applied Materials having a good day, KLA Tencor having a good day, or KLA Corp, I guess. Goldman Sachs having a good day, Lam Research having a good day. Then I just spotted one here. Our old favorite, Cleveland Cliffs, is having a whale of a day, up 13%.
Great earnings report on that one. And Tesla's at hitting all-time highs.
There you go.
908 currently there, up a percent and a half today.
The I don't know if this is a meme stock or what, Fun, F-H-U-N. Someone's having fun. It's up 1,099% today. This thing has traded 197 million shares. It's a Chinese stock. Funware. Oh, man, look at that thing. It looks like it's halted, too. And the Trump stock is dropping back down under 100 again. Probably got some vigilantes coming into that one now. All right, there's two big news items here that I want to talk about. I think there's bigger problems in China than they're letting on. But nevertheless, Evergrande avoided. They would have defaulted today, Barry.
Yeah, made the note.
By hook or crook, they made their bond payment. Now, you know, that buys them a little time. Okay, that bond payment's going to come. That's the thing about debt. It's the gift that keeps on taking, you know, it just never goes away. Those payments come around every month. But I think the thing that worries me most about, Evergrande is, China says, both Chinese Vice Premier Liu He and, the People's Bank of China Governor Yi Gang feel that Evergrande's risks are controllable. And it just brings back memories of COVID. You know, COVID is controllable. No worry. Don't worry. It's not going to – we've got it contained. So I still worry about the Chinese maybe having a 2008-2009 event like we had here in the U.S., and that would definitely spill over to the rest of the world. So, you know, I'm not ready to make that call, but I worry. You got to worry about it. As a money manager, you always have to look at all the different scenarios that could play out. Okay, here's another scenario playing out. The Cushing Hub. Now, it's not exactly a tourist attraction. It's in Cushing, Oklahoma. That's where all the oil, from the refineries by pipeline is sent to the Cushing Oklahoma hub, the biggest in the U.S., that is approaching critical low levels, which could push crude prices above current multi-year highs. This is coming from Bloomberg, okay, not from some short seller or anything like that. They explain that the Cushing storage tanks require a minimum level of oil to maintain normal operations. Traders estimate that to be 20 million barrels, but stockpiles have dropped by more than 4 million barrels in 2 weeks to 31 million and likely will keep falling fast due to soaring pent-up demand all over the world. Okay, so keep your eye on the Cushing oil. Now, I remember back in early last year when they didn't have anywhere to put the oil, right? It was overflowing, and they were offloading it onto ships anywhere they could put it because they didn't have too much to store. That was during COVID because demand obviously dropped with people not driving to work and whatnot or flying in airplanes. And now you've gone the other way. The demand has come back with a vengeance, and our production is down in the U.S., and now we could get a big shortage here in the U.S., which would really drive prices higher. Okay, let's see, the other one here, Walmart puts in Bitcoin, is going to put Bitcoin ATMs in stores in a pilot program. Retail giant Walmart will allow customer to purchase Bitcoin through a Coinstar kiosk. You know, I remember that stock. It was a hot stock a long time ago,
yeah.
Coinstar. You dump all your spare change into this thing, and it would count it out, and you'd get a little ticket to take to the teller there, the cashier, and you'd get, $20 bill or $40, $50, whatever. You'd get greenbacks.
You paid 10% for it to count it at the time, I think,
I
remember right.
And they took
100 bucks. They're taking 10 bucks.
Yeah. I mean, that was a moneymaker, and that was a great little stock. Eventually, I want to say Coinstar turned into Redbox, or they added Redbox, where you could rent videos out of a vending machine, and they're still kind of around. But anyways, that's an interesting concept there. You put in your money, you can 100 bucks of cash, and it'll convert it to Bitcoin for you. And I don't know if what it kicks out. It's an ATM machine. I guess it kicks out some kind of card of some sort.
That's what I was thinking this morning when I saw the story. I guess they have to have, it has to have some wallet attached to it. I guess it'll be a Coinstar Bitcoin wallet. I don't know if it'll be a Walmart wallet. I'm not sure what it'll be in, because it's not like you're just. I hope you're not just walking out there with a piece of paper that has a code on it, because that's
flimsy little
lost.
Receipt. Something. Yeah. Okay. Billionaire Mario Gabelli sees Dow at 80,000 by 2031. Well, I would say there's a lot of what ifs over the next 10 years. There's a lot of things that could happen, but I think he's probably just doing the math at the usual 10%, 8%, which has been the long-term average of the markets. Oh, he's suggesting an annual growth rate of 7.2%. So, that's if the world hangs together here, which seems to be falling apart at the seams in certain areas. Facebook slammed by oversight board for celebrity they're having a hard time counting the views, and of course, Facebook charges by the views. I mean, that's how they charge for their advertising. It's a controversial stock. One suggestion for the name change this week has been Faceplant. But that Zuckerberg doesn't like that.
Did you get that one? did you get that one?
Now we own Facebook in our premier growth portfolio. Look, how many times have these FANG stocks been under pressure, and every time they recover and go on to make new highs? It just seems like when you've got that kind of presence in the world and that kind of earnings power. That's pretty powerful. Beyond Meat, the McPlant, I can't wait. It's coming out soon. I guess Beyond Meat's got the contract. And then Beyond Meat guided lower today. They used this opportunity to guide lower. And Intel, which has been a dog for years, falls. Let's see what Intel. It was down 6%. Of course, it's a big part of the NASDAQ. Intel, where are my charts? Oh, they are INTC. Is trading down 11%.
Yeah, down over 10% earlier. I mean, that's your adage, stocks follow earnings. Just compare, our listeners should compare AMD earnings over time versus Intel over time, and you'll figure out why the charts are moving in opposite directions pretty much for the last at least a year and a half or so.
Intel's earnings expected to be down 7% this year versus last year. And next year down another 8%. Their earnings are going the wrong way, and the stock follows along. If you don't learn anything else from this show, and it's not just earnings. Earnings are looking in the rearview mirror, the past, history. It's earnings estimates and earnings expectations. Intel is expected to make $4.41 next year. It does not get a glamour multiple. It gets a dog multiple of about 9 or 10, That stock's worth about $45 to $50. And where is it today? $49.90. Very simple math. The other big loser today is Snap. Snap is down 23%. You know, Snap, I almost got lured into Snap. The chart was outstanding. It got up to 112 in my ranking about 2 months ago. But here's this company that's never made a penny in profit. It's always lost money. And it is getting taken apart right now, down 23% as revenue misses amid iPhone privacy changes. You never know what's going to hit your stock. In this case, it was iPhone privacy changes. Well, let's see. I'm going to try to find some best stocks now here during the break and report back when we come back. Hey, get that newsletter today, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back.
You got to go the way you want to go and do what you want to do.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, in a week where we saw the Dow hit a new all-time high, the NASDAQ hit, or the S&P 500 hit a new all-time high, and the NASDAQ closing in on its all-time high. It's been on the back of earnings reports. Not all have been good. There's been a few stinkers along the way. The usual suspects, IBM, AT&T, Intel. Yes, they're stinkers. I call them soggy, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear that I don't want to own. I want to try to own the best stocks now in today's world, which is a lot different from the world we had 15, 20 years ago. And we're going to get a slew of earnings next week, a lot from the tech industry. I know Apple will be reporting. This past week, I would say the biggest tech earnings were Netflix. So Netflix broke out to new highs this past week. They've got a couple of good shows going on there. We had Tesla report earnings. They broke out to a new all-time high. And, of course, all these members of the S&P 500, 80 of them total last week, this week, reported earnings. That will cause for a major change to my S&P 500 target prices one way or another. And lastly, it sounds like there will be no corporate tax hike. That's because of Senator Sinema from Arizona and Joe Manchin from West Virginia putting their foot down saying no new taxes. The famous line from George Bush Sr., read my lips, and then he went ahead and raised taxes.
No new taxes was the new part was the, he raised them, but they weren't new. But the, I still can't get the, you know, I had a new proposal in terms of paying for some of these programs. We should just sell
buy
some
Bitcoin.
Tickets. Well, that, and we'll sell some tickets to the Bernie Sanders fight with Manchin.
Pay-per-view. And Sinema versus AOC in the mud.
I can't get it out of my head ever since you said that.
And the Trump network will cover it, you know,
right.
Donald Trump at ringside.
And we'll buy Bitcoin with all the proceeds.
Yeah, and you got to buy your tickets and gamble on Bally's or DraftKings with Bitcoins.
Yeah.
Okay, four featured stocks. Oh, they're not featured, just four stocks that are jumping off the page at me today. What's the top Silicon Valley stock today? No. It all started with Intel in the Silicon Valley. Today's top stock coming at you from the Silicon Valley is Silicon Valley Financial Group, a bank. It is now a $42 billion market cap company. I remember when that thing went public a couple decades ago. It is breaking out with a vengeance today, SIVB. And just to prove that the Best Stocks Now app finds stocks from every walk of life, SIVB is currently one of my top-ranked stocks. along with many other financials and banks, and the reason they're moving, the main reason they're moving, they're anticipating higher interest rates, and we're seeing higher interest rates. We're at 1.68. This is a good hedge against higher interest rates, bank stocks and financial stocks, and on the back of earnings. And, you know, here's the other thing about Silicon Valley, just real quick. Their growth rate over the last 5 years has been 36% per year. You're not going to find that in Citigroup. You're not going to find that in Wells Fargo.
That's a bank, by the way.
Yes. Silicon Valley Bank Financial Group, 30 offices, SIVB. But I got to believe there's some big customers at the SIVB. The other one that's kind of jumping off the page here to me today is a gold stock. And the gold stocks are on the move. If you believe that higher interest rates are coming, that inflation is going to be around longer than we're being led to believe, and if you believe that our U.S. dollar is in trouble, look at Gold Fields today, GFI. It's been moving up in rank and momentum. It shows up in one of my screens from my beststocksnowapp.com today, which ranks 6,000 different stocks on a daily basis, including mutual funds and ETFs. GFI, powerful move today. And I would say the third one jumping off the page to me today is a tech stock that we actually own, KLA Corp. These are not recommendations. They're just examples of best stocks now that are working in this environment that we have in the market today, which is a very unique environment from the one we had last year and the year before that and from the one 10 years ago. And KLA also pays a dividend yield of 1.3%. It's one of our largest holdings, actually, because we own it in our premier growth portfolio and we own it in our dividend growth.
Yep.
And it's been growing by 21%. It's a semiconductor equipment maker. Now, we have tools for the do-it-yourselfer. We have the beststocksnowapp.com. Look up your stock. If you're holding IBM and AT&T, why? You want to be in the best stocks now. We have my newsletter, our newsletter, which we put out every single week. It's going out again this week with a brand new target price on the S&P 500. I've been right about the market for the last 12 years and made a very famous call last February at the bottom of COVID. I said, it's time to go all in. It was actually March. And thirdly, we have the Best Stocks Now app. Well, we have the radio show. That's thirdly. Every day, and it's not Saturday and Sunday, but we also upload it to the podcast sites or my website, GundersonCapital.com. My newsletter only goes out to clients and subscribers, live trading subscribers that follow me, that want to do their own thing, and then the clients that I manage their money for them because they don't have the time to do it, they get the newsletter. But I offer 2 free weeks to anybody who's never gotten it before. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and sign up for that newsletter. I'm putting the finishing touches on it. I just need a little more data, and I got to do some math on these 80 companies that have reported earnings this week, and we'll see where we're at with a new target price and a massive change this week in the macro outlook, which I'll be describing in the newsletter. Is it for the good or for the bad? GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.